Well, we warmly greet you this morning in the name of the Lord, in whose name we gather. And it will be a different kind of service this morning. I'm not going to preach a message. We'll get to hear from our deacons as we highlight some of the things that the Lord has done for us over this past year. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Our natural tendency is maybe to take good things for granted and to focus on those things that we would maybe wish to change. But we have several examples in Scripture that give us a pattern of thanking and praising the Lord, even in difficult or overwhelming circumstances. And we could think of Noah as he got off of the ark and had been through with his family the most overwhelming year of their very long lives. And the first thing he did was to set up an altar and to give thanks to the Lord. Or we could think of the children of Israel having passed through the Red Sea and survived the 10 plagues and the onslaught of the chasing Egyptian army, and Miriam's song of praise as they reflected on God's goodness and protection. Or we could think of Solomon's dedication of the temple that the Lord had provided the plans for, the resources and materials and the wisdom to build, and the lavish celebration of dedication at that temple, thanking the Lord for his provision. We could go to the New Testament and think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, as she received news that would turn her life upside down, but in marvelous words of praise, utters the Magnificat, words of thanks and adoration to the Lord. And that's our desire this morning, just as we look back at what he's brought us through, as we look ahead and trust in his continued care, just that we would give thanks for his provision, his protection, and his love for us. And so as we do that, we don't minimize the difficulties. We don't go through life with rose-colored glasses and pretend that the trials have not happened or that hardships are not yet still being borne by many of us who carry burdens of hurt and hardship. We simply recognize that in those times of trial, that God's goodness is consistent, that his promises remain true, and that his provision for those who call on his name will not lack. We say with Job, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And later in that book, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And with Paul in the New Testament, as he reflects on many bad things he'd been through and many good things that he's experienced, that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so as we give thanks to the Lord this morning, please follow along as I read the first 8 verses of the 92nd Psalm. Psalm 92, the Bible says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, O Lord, art most high forevermore. We thank the Lord for his enduring goodness, his sovereign control. And as each of our deacons comes this morning, each one will highlight a specific aspect of God's goodness and provision and protection that we've experienced over the past year. And just help us. All of this is about giving God the credit, giving God the glory that he deserves as we are reminded of his care for us. And so first Dr. Peterson will come, and he's going to remind us of some of the things God has done in terms of healing and physical care, and lead us in prayer of thanks for those. After that, Deacon Kevin Dodds will come and give God thanks for his guidance for our church, our country, and the world. And he'll lead us in prayer of thanks as we reflect on God's blessing in that area.
Thank you, Pastor Stevens. I first want to say good morning to everyone. It is so good to see regular faces, members, friends, a couple guests I was able to meet earlier this morning before Sunday school. And I also want to just say good morning to all those listening online. I think about our members, our shut-ins, people who aren't able to be here, that who are at home right now listening, praying, and I just want to tell you that we miss you. We look forward to the time you're back, and we just want to let you know that we love you and that you're worshiping with us right now. I am thankful for the internet. I am thankful for what we are able to do and provide in terms of our ministry for that service. I also want to just kind of mention any visitors who may be looking online to welcome you and to hope you can take part in this Thanksgiving celebration. Before I talk about and mention our prayer of thanks, I want to mention a verse that the Lord brought to me again earlier this year that has meant a lot to me, and it's Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bone. Now, you can substitute joyful or good for merry. So a joyful heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I can't tell you how many people I talk to every week in my practice who want a vitamin, a natural healing pill, a medication to solve their problems, to help them feel better. You know what? I think if we're honest, we all want that. But as I begin this prayer of thanksgiving for health and healing, I want you to remember that the Lord provides everything we need. The Lord provides that medication. We need to always remember to have a merry spirit. We need to have a joyful spirit. And that, according to Scripture, according to our God, will be a good medicine. And it's made a difference in my life this year. When I'm down or when I'm grumpy, I remember that verse, and that's a nice medicine to me. So that is kind of a beginning to what I want to talk about, is that over this past year, as we all know, there have been many health challenges, many medical trials that our community's gone through, our church body, our families have gone through. But that does not preclude us from knowing that there are many things that we can be thankful for within that. Our Indianapolis community has been overrun with COVID-19 infection. The Lord has limited our church body's infection to a small percentage, and I thank God for that. Those people who have been affected by the virus are on their way to a healthy recovery or already recovered, and I praise God for that. Mrs. Schlutz has remained cancer-free. I think back to the trials we had a year before that and the prayers we had and the surgery she went through, and to this day she remains cancer-free. How thankful we are. We think about the Giles family and the beautiful baby that was brought into our church body, a young girl named Emerson, and how that blessing came despite a very complicated pregnancy. What a blessing, a lot to be thankful for. I think about Vicki Murray, the health trials she has had, the long road she has had, and yet she is on the road to recovery. She is feeling better. Hopefully she will continue to feel better and live a healthy life. What a lot to be thankful for. I remember and think about and pray for all of you who have illness, who have struggles, and who haven't shared that with anyone. You've only shared it maybe with the Lord, or maybe you haven't taken it to the Lord. I pray for that and just encourage you to be thankful that the Lord has allowed that so that you can commune with Him and pray to God to help you get healing, to be physically renewed if that's what's necessary. I think about and remember those members of our church body who the Lord chose not to heal, but who decided to take home to live eternally with Him in heaven. I think of Bill Koenig. I think of Rosalie Yates. I think of Phyllis LaRocca. And I think of one of our missionaries, Dave DeFord, who is now with the Lord. I praise God for the strength and guidance He's given those families to get through that. How difficult it is to lose a loved one, but the Lord has strengthened them. So I think that through the challenges that we of a church body have had with COVID, with personal illness, with other physical or medical challenges, I just want us to take this moment to, as a group, thank the Lord for all that He's done for us. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You are the great physician. Lord, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your Holy Word. We thank You, O Lord, for Your Son who died for us so that we could enter into a personal relationship with You by prayer at any time to come to You with our needs. Dear Lord, we just thank You for our health. We thank You for the healing that You've done. We thank You for the strength to get through those issues and those trials. And Lord, we just trust in Thee that You will direct our step from this day forward, that You will help us to make the right decisions, that You will help us to encourage others. And Lord, we just give You all the praise and honor and just lift You up, God. Lord, You are the great physician, and we thank You for all You've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Lord.
Well, it certainly has been a unique year. We look back on a worldwide pandemic that's still going on, civil unrest, and an election that hasn't been decided yet. And certainly those things stand out in our minds, and perspective is very important. I think we'd all agree we've come through it much stronger than was predicted, and we're in a better place than we thought we would be back in March. But when we take the time and we focus on the positive, we certainly have a long list of things and a lot to be thankful for. So a few things, we kind of shut down in March, but we were able to quickly restart services, come online, provide multiple messages for people to see from home. We had a skilled group of people that were able to make that happen very quickly. We're all here today, so we were able to come back fairly quick and meet in person in May. And the local restrictions weren't too severe. We never had harassment. We didn't have people checking up on us like many areas of the country did, so we were blessed in that way. We were safe in this area from the violence and some of the rioting and things, as well as, I believe, most of our congregation and where they live. We were kept safe from that. We have a great bunch of first responders in our church. We have law enforcement, doctors, nurses, firemen, and it was good to have them to help keep us safe, to consult with, and just have around during these difficult times. Our membership was blessed enough that the giving remain strong. We were able to continue to pay all of our pastors and our staff and support the missionaries around the world to this time. And even take on some extra projects through this time. Our savings account remained strong, and we were able to take advantage of that and knock off some projects that we'd been planning to do. On a national level, I think we'd all agree we enjoy the best health care in the world. And we've been able to see a couple vaccines developed in record time that should be rolled out shortly. We have a vice president who has accepted Christ as his savior. He is not ashamed of it, and he's used his influence in the position that he has. Our president and vice president are strongly pro-life, and they fought for the lives of our unborn children. And we were able to see another pro-life Supreme Court justice installed this year. And our administration has been a strong ally to Israel in a time when they have few. So all these things, I think we would agree, there's a lot of positive going on. I'd just like to thank the Lord for these things now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the health that you've given to each of us, that we can be here today, many at home watching also. Thank you for allowing us to live in this great nation, for all the blessings that have come from it. We have the freedom to assemble and worship as we please here. We have undeniable blessings and prosperity that we've enjoyed as a nation. We have an abundance of jobs, food, housing, great health care. Thank you for this administration, a president and a vice president that have been strongly pro-life. They fought for the lives of unborn children. Thank you for the progress we've seen with the appointment of many pro-life judges around this nation on the Supreme Court, for a president who's never been afraid to state his pro-life convictions. We've had a president that's been a friend and an ally to Israel, your chosen people. Thank you for the technology that you've given to us, that we've been able to meet remotely, continue to do so. We have many talented members here in the church. They've been recording messages and editing, and we had teachers during this time that we've enjoyed, some that we wouldn't normally get to hear. Thank you for all of our first responders that have worked to keep us safe inside the church and outside. There's millions of people across this nation who have worked and responded to this pandemic, and they did so very well. We think of doctors and nurses, military, government agents, pharmaceutical companies, many others that maybe don't get the credit they deserve. Thank you for them. Thank you for our pastors that you've given to us, for the wisdom you've given them, and your guidance through these difficult times. Thank you most for your word that you've given to us. We know the truth. We know how it will end. We can have peace as we see your perfect plan unfold. Thank you again for all your many blessings. We'll continue to trust in you for all these things. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just want to add my word of thanks and praise the Lord for the church here. I'm thankful for each one of you and for just how you all have welcomed Stephanie and I to the church family here. And I'm also very thankful for our pastor, Pastor Slutz, and Pastor Joel. I know I've grown and benefited from Pastor Joel's preaching, and I've very much appreciated his friendship and his wisdom and counsel as I've grown and sought to minister here. So very thankful for the church. I love the church, and I trust you do too. So let's stand and sing that song together. We'll sing the first and the fifth verse.
I love the church, the flock bought with Christ's blood. Sheep gone astray, he found and brought to God. Guarded and fed by shepherds he provides. We follow Christ, secure and satisfied. May
Come, ye thankful people, come, we'll sing the first and the fourth verse.
Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home, all is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home. Even so, Lord, quickly come to thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. They're forever purified in thy presence to abide. Come with all thine angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home.
You may be seated.
We continue our scripture reading in the book of Psalms. It is the praise manual in the Bible. And even as we read these Psalms and you follow along, I hope that they are not merely ancient words, but we recognize that even as David praised and thanked God through the many trials that he faced, that as we reflect on that same God and that same goodness, the faithfulness that has continued and endured through all generations, that we praise and thank the same God. And so we can make David's words, the other psalmist's words, our words, as we join our hearts and offer our thanks this morning. You may not even need to turn to the beloved Psalm 23, but as I read these words, I hope that you will think of them freshly today and make them your words as we reflect on God's goodness. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're thankful for the characteristics of our God that liken him to a shepherd, his loving care. Deacon Mike Foltz is going to come and thank the Lord for his material provision, during this past year. And then Deacon Bob Boone, thanking the Lord for some of those less tangible but more eternally real benefits of salvation and God's spiritual work.
Good morning, everyone. I don't think it was a coincidence that that passage was placed right before I came up to speak. That passage has meant a lot to me since COVID started. That first verse, the Lord, and man, he's our Lord, and he's our shepherd. So if he's leading us, we shall want for nothing. And so I don't think it was a coincidence that was placed before me, and I didn't see that until I sat down this morning and just had to smile that God put that there for me and for you, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the church has not wanted since COVID started. When we first met as a group of deacons, when we were talking about we were going to have to close down, we had talked about, whoa, what is this going to do to the church finances? Are people still going to give? And a decision was made that we were going to trust. We were going to trust that God was in control. He was going to take care of our needs. And we also had to obey. Us as deacons and pastors, we needed to continue to do what God wanted us to do, and that is to give. That's to manage what he has given to us, and that is what has been happening with his help during the last several months. And you all, too, have obeyed. And I pray that you're still trusting that he's in control and that his plan's going to work out for the best. And through obedience to his command to give a portion of what he's given to us, all of the expenses of the church have been covered and more. As Kevin mentioned, the savings has been in a good position to get some things done that needed to be done around the church. So we thank him that he gave us the ability to meet the needs of the church by obeying and just trusting that he was going to take care of our needs, just as the passage says. People gave through the mail. People dropped gifts off at the church. And then we were able to open up almost immediately when it was possible again, just giving people the opportunity to give and obey his word. Because you gave, the needs of some needy families were able to be met. Many businesses have been impacted to where employees were not able to remain employed, were furloughed. So those are some needs, and God meets those needs. He meets those needs through people giving, and that's what is possible when people obey. He allowed us, as Kevin mentioned, to improve some of the areas around the church. If you see the fours and fives room, that is one example of that. It's a little bit brighter down the hallway when you go down the hallway. Some of those projects do that. Through Faith Promise Missions, that there was never a drop in the giving, and so each missionary some who had lost support during this time, just because some churches did close down, their needs were met through the gifts that we give each month to them as their monthly salary support that we provide. And just one example that I want to give to you was there is a church member whose house I was helping clean out during this time. And I don't know if you can see this or not, but there's a big FP on this jar. And when I saw this jar, and this jar was full, I didn't fill it because it was heavy, when it was full. But when I saw FP, I knew that was Faith Promise Missions. Someone was keeping what God had given to them in the form of quarters. This was full of quarters. And this little jar full of quarters is $115. And our average support level that we give to a missionary every month is $110. So this was probably collected 4 or 5 years ago, and it was placed for someone to find. And when I saw it, I took a picture of it, and I sent it to Mrs. Wire, who helps with the church finances, and we both knew exactly what it was. And so we won't know until heaven what this $115 did for a missionary. But I just wanted to share that personal example of someone who years ago decided to get involved in Faith Promise Missions, and they faithfully did it, and this jar that was found 4 years later helped a missionary at this point in time. So that's just one example. There are many examples of how God's people are taken care of if we just trust that his plan is best, and that we obey and follow through. So I just want to thank him through prayer for his financial provision during this time, because we have not wanted as a church, because he is our shepherd. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your provision, both material, and you also provide us time and you provide us talents to be able to meet the needs of others. I pray that each of us would be able to see when you are prompting us to get involved in things that are going to bring glory to you. And I just thank you for using people and not just handling everything for us. And I just thank you that you do use people to further your ministry. I thank you for sending your son for our greatest need and salvation. I just thank you that during this time of businesses struggling, churches struggling, you've met the needs of the church so that we can meet the needs of others, meet the needs of your children. And I just pray that you would continue to help us to thank you and praise you so that you get the glory from everything that you have us get involved in. And I just pray that you would continue to open our eyes, that we can see that your hand is at work, and that in the end you will get the glory that you deserve. In your name we pray. Amen.
Morning, everybody. Everybody smiling? I get the privilege to talk about something that we should all smile about. If we don't, then y'all probably should go home. But this, I get to talk about salvation today. We as a church have been very good about representing God and telling others about Jesus. You know, one of my passions is children. I love to teach children. I love to be in classes with children. You know why? They're so simple. They don't have all this head trash stuff that adults have. When you talk to an adult about salvation, they just gotta, oh, I can't do that because I gotta give up this. I gotta do that. I gotta do this. But a child just takes it the way it's taught to him and says, yeah, I want that. This is the way I want to spend the rest of my life. So that's what they do. Thankfully, at our church, we have wonderful teachers. We have teachers that teach God's word to them. Kids have gotten saved this year. Had an 11-year-old girl saved this year in junior church. We had several kids saved last year. As you know, we didn't get to have Bible school, which is a big thing at our church. You know, it's a hard thing not to have Bible school. It's one of my favorite things to do of the year. But next year we'll have it. We still have all the stuff. We don't have to buy it again, so that's a good thing. Mike's provision is a good thing. So I thank the Lord for giving us salvation. You know, when I was a little kid, I got saved in a joy club. So that's why I'm so passionate about the kids. We had two kids baptized early this year. We have WANA every Wednesday night that we get to teach kids about God. Several kids, I remember a couple years ago, Mrs. Fultz was teaching, and these two kids came up after she was done teaching. She said, they said, "Today's the day. I want to get saved." No, I didn't have to say anything. They're ready. So you get that. If you ever have an opportunity to talk to kids, they want to do it. You know, if you're talking to about God, if you can get them to think that they're a kid, they'll have a better chance of understanding it. There's just too much other stuff going on in their heads. So in the Bible, in John 3:16, I think probably everybody, does everybody know this verse? When you're a little bitty kid, you were taught it, right? When you're a little kid, because your parents love to hear you say it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That kind of says it all, doesn't it? Really. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for staying. Thank you for loving us. Father, I thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, that we can have eternal life in heaven. It is so simple. You've made it so simple that even a small child can understand. And they don't have to go into Bible school to understand it, or college or anything. It's so simple that a small child can understand it and get saved. They can know that they're on their way to heaven and spend eternity with you. Father, I pray as we as a church that we would continually teach God's word. I thank you for two wonderful pastors that every week are teaching it and teaching us how to teach them. And Father, I thank you for that. Father, I pray that you'd be with them, the adults and the children of this church and people that are watching online, that if they don't know you as their personal Savior, that they could make that decision today. They don't have to wait another day, another minute. Don't take a chance. Father, I just pray that they would get saved today. Watch over them until they get saved. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Those of us who are involved in children's ministries, we definitely covet your prayers. And I think many of you know that Brother Bob is on the board of Religious Education, PTREA, and Miss Shelley and I have the opportunity to teach in that. And this past spring, I was able to teach the lesson on Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, and with my fourth grade class, that I go over to Clinton Young and bring them here. At least last year I was doing that. And the schedule didn't call for me teaching that lesson that day. I was supposed to do it like a couple weeks later, but for some reason, I can't remember, I was like, I'm going to go ahead and teach it today. And lo and behold, a week or two later, COVID canceled everything. So had I waited, I wouldn't have had that opportunity. So I taught it, and I didn't really think anything of it. And I, you know, said, if you want to accept Jesus as your Savior, you can pray and ask him to forgive you your sins. And on the way back, it's just a five-minute drive down, one of the girls, I had like four or five fourth graders, one of the girls said, "Can we all just pray in our own hearts in the van right now?" And I'm like, I wasn't expecting it, so I was like, yes, of course. And I don't know who all prayed in their own hearts and was really sincere, but I was able to, while I'm driving, lead a sinner's prayer with five, six little girls in the van. It was such a wonderful experience, and we definitely have much to be thankful for, and praise the Lord for the greatest gift of all in salvation. And so let's sing that song, "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." We'll sing the first and the third verse. You may remain seated.
Some thank the Lord for friends and home, for mercy sure and sweet. But I would praise him for his grace. In prayer I will repeat, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me
On the third, we'll ask the instrumentalist to drop out on the chorus.
I trust in him from day to day. I prove his saving grace. I'll sing this song of praise to him until I see his face. Thank you, Lord, for saving soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free.
As we continue our scripture reading, we'll go to the 96th Psalm. And a psalm that helps us to recognize and remember that though God does choose to work in us and through us, and as we've already celebrated this morning, many things that the Lord has done through us, we recognize and humbly admit that 0% of that credit goes to any human agent. That all of God's work is by His grace and by His power, and that we, in fact, if anything, pose only a barrier to His work because of our sinfulness, because of our shortcomings, our pride, and our natural tendency to go after things that are earthly. And so we celebrate and rejoice in God's grace, His condescending mercy, His steadfast loving kindness that allows Him to work through weak, sinful, and broken individuals, the God who is above all false gods and shows His superiority over those gods in such a way that the heathen must recognize that there is one true God. And sometimes we can think of that as abrasive, confrontational, or even in a negative sense when the Bible talks about the triumph of God over false gods and over the heathen. But as we reflect on salvation, we are grateful that God shows that superiority because you and I were born heathen. We had the God of our belly. We had no fear of the true God before our eyes, and each of us has those that we love that we would desire to see come to the recognition of the superiority of the one true God and the hope that He gives through Jesus Christ as the only path to salvation and eternal life. So as we read the 96th Psalm, we exalt the Lord, who is exalted above all false gods and who shows His truth to the heathen. The Bible says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with His truth." We praise Him for that truth, for that sovereignty, for that righteous judgment. And finally, I would invite you to join me in the next psalm as we read verses 6 through 12. And I'd like for us once again to read responsively. And those verses that are in bold and underlined, if you would join me in reading those. And I will start in verse 6. "The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images and boast themselves of idols. Worship Him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of Thy judgments, O Lord. For Thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of the saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Here to thank the Lord for his work beyond the walls of this church and across the globe through global impact and our Faith Promise giving and missions program. Deacon Matt Peck will highlight some of the things the Lord has done on the foreign field. And then finally, Keith Coors will come and thank the Lord for his sovereign love.
Well, we can praise the Lord that in our 39th missions conference, funds were promised of over $86,000. We have a church that averages around 200 people, 40 some odd families, and that we're able to amass those funds to send out into the world to spread his word is a testimony to you people and your faith to God. We've had some blessings around the world this year. Dr. Tom Johnson in Cambodia was able to begin to worship in a new building. This is something that has happened before. I know that the Christies had an issue with where they could worship, and Harrison and Michelle have had problems with where their church is. It's something that is not a problem that we think about. You know, we have a nice solid structure here with heat, air conditioning, well lit, and we just know on Sunday, Lord calls us to go to church. 1700 East Thompson Road, that's where I'll be. So the Pipers and Comstocks in New Zealand were able to, after the COVID restrictions were lifted, due to no new cases, they were able to have a camp, and 11 children came to know the Lord as Savior. Gary Trometer in Brazil was able to lead a man who was into idolatry and was an alcoholic. He came to know the Lord as Savior. We're just blessed that we're able to support these men and women that are going out doing what not we won't do, but we aren't led to do. I want to thank Mrs. Woodruff. She puts out a virtual missionary board on a regular basis. Take time to look at it. Get to know your missionaries. We have nearly 50 missionaries in the field. We've got a half dozen missions boards that we support to help the missionaries prepare for their retirement and to make sure that they have their needs met when they're in the field. Just take a look at them and try to identify with some of them and pray for some, and maybe isolate a specific area. We have a half dozen missionaries in Africa. You know, we've got a couple in the United Kingdom, 3 in France. Just look at these different missionaries and pray for them as a block. We're thankful for a pastor that is continuing in the Faith Promise ministry. Again, this was our 39th conference. We were able to meet two missionary couples, the Aristides and Bizarros. Through the years, we've had the pleasure to meet many missionaries. The Vanderhoofs, the Bowens, the Steinbarts, and we get to revisit with our missionaries that have been in the field for years. Harrison and Michelle, a half dozen years ago, Ed and Sylvia Christie. We're just blessed that we have an opportunity to have this, and we have a pastor that wants to continue with this tradition. I just ask that you'll pray with me now as we give thanks for his meeting our needs. God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together as a family, like-minded brothers and sisters, people that you have touched the heart and led them to give to missions. We're just thankful for those brave brothers and sisters who've gone around the world to spread your word, that have been called and gave those wonderful words, "Hear my Lord, send me." God, we just pray for this upcoming year. We have a couple of missionaries that are retiring. We have missionaries that are under-supported, and we just we're excited that we can increase support for them and look at continuing to have a relationship with these Faith Promise Offering supported missionaries. Over nearly 40 years, we've given over $500,000 to missions through Faith Promise. We're thankful for testimonies in the past of men and women in this church, similar to what Mike showed of the quarters container with FP on it. You've met the pledge, the promise that many people gave through adding a babysitting kid or just found money that wasn't expected. We put our faith in you that what you lead us to give, we're able to give, and we are thankful that through the years we've been able to do that, and we've increased our number of our missionaries and the support through them because of that faithfulness. Now, God, we pray that you'll continue to bless us as you have. Help us to be faithful to those that we support. Amen.
Good morning. I was asked to talk about the sovereign control and the faithful love of God. And so my heart went straight to Scripture, how pure it is. So I'm going to read some Scripture out of Colossians 1. And it says, "He who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." And 18, the very top says, "And he is the head of the body, the church." And everybody knows me. I know this. I get joyful when I think about the Lord and thanking him. I'm like a little kid, and I ask the Lord to do that, and kick me if I'm not like that, because I get excited about him. And, I look at these signs up here, and by God's sovereign control, you look at worship, and, we're talking about COVID and that. And the whole world, the whole church was attacked. But we were still able to do it because of God. And then you look at the learning, and you've got God's truth and being able to learn and to connect as a family. God, by his sovereign way, gave us a way to, with our line, the online and social media and different things, that we can still learn. And people are listening right now who want to be here. But, we're here one heart, one mind, and God knows that, even if you're at home. And then you get to share it with other people. So some people are a little shyer than I am. And you could just push that over to somebody and let them listen to God's word when the pastor's giving God's pure word out. That's, what a blessing, and it has happened, and other people have heard it. I just keep going to the part of serving. That's what we're doing for the Lord. Once we understand and we the Lord's incredible grace and mercy new every day. I mean, we want to serve him. He is, beyond any understanding or whatever. But I just thank him. We as a church here at Thompson Road Baptist Church, thank him with all of our heart and all of our mind, and and we look at those things where we want to worship and learn and connect as a family and serve, it's one of those things that the Lord is just so powerful. The words just kept coming off. And when these other people, the pastors, came up to talk about the Lord, you know, they touched each subject about the Lord and how incredible He is. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, being able to come up and share God's word with you. But that's how powerful He is. It can work through a simple person like me. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy Father, we thank You for Your sovereign control and faithful love during these challenging times. You keep Your church together through many ways, and sharing Your word through new ways and online and social services. We thank You, Lord, with all of our heart. And we praise You with all of our heart, all of our being. And Lord, we love You with all of our strength, all of our mind, all of our soul, and with great thanksgiving. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Close by singing the song, "You Are Always Good," which, as we look back on the year, as the verse starts out, it says, "Looking back, I can see your fingerprints upon my life, upon this year, always seeking my best. There were times when Your way would make no sense, but as You said, You have never left." You know, looking back on this year, even still, we may think, this year doesn't make any sense. God, what are You doing? And we just have to trust the sovereignty of God, as Brother Keith was just talking about. You know, we started the year 2020, and it was, you know, such a cool year. You know, it's a 2020 vision. That was our theme. I was burdening the teens with 2020 vision jokes at the beginning of the year, and then all that went away quickly as COVID entered the our country and really the world. And in spite of it all, as we look to a new year, we need to remind ourselves, and we can be comforted in the fact that God is always good. And it was a joy to have Ron Hamilton's wife here a few months ago, and she sang this and she shared the story behind this song, how this song was born out of much trial and the sorrows that they went through. And no matter what you're going through, as you look back on this year and what 2021 holds for you, I challenge you and encourage you to remember that God is always good. So would you stand with me as we sing our final song together, all three verses?
Looking back, I can see Your fingerprints upon my life, always seeking my best. There were times when Your way would make no sense, but as You said, You have never left. You are always good, You are only good, You are always good. My sin is great, and my strength is so small. Will You stay, and Your mercy shelters me? You hold my hand, and You hear my call. You are always good, You are only good, You are always good to me. Help my heart believe, You are always only good. Looking up, I can see your sympathy about myself, but I'm sure of your love. Lavish grace was poured out at Calvary, securing me from my hope.
Heavenly Father, you are always good, and we thank you for your goodness. You are nothing but good, and we thank you for how you've guided us and directed us, both individually and as a church this year. You have provided for us, and you have just blessed us so much. And as we close our praise service today, we trust that this will not be a closure of the praise that we ought to have for you every day, namely, especially for our salvation, but we trust that we would continue to have a spirit of thanks and gratitude and praise this week. And as we enter this coming year, I pray that we would continue to trust in you and trust your goodness. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.